Well, it's getting interesting with the diesel scarcity situation. Welcome to the special report. I'm Mike Adams. And over the weekend, the CEO of Shell Oil, named Wael Sawan, I think that's maybe how I pronounce his name. Well, anyway, he appeared on CNBC's Squawk Box. And even though he was using some fairly diplomatic language initially to sound really optimistic, like, it's amazing how resilient the energy sector has been. You know, it's amazing that we've recovered. We've handled all this stuff. What he actually admitted in the middle of the interview is that there's not enough diesel being produced to meet demand. So there's a direct quote from him during the interview. He said, quote, "The price signals are that we are short on diesel and gasoline." And then he goes on to talk about that. Now, personally, I'm not that concerned about a gasoline shortage because I know that we have enough refineries domestically in the United States to process the lighter grade oil that we also produce an abundance of domestically. That's the oil that's used with the correct refinery setups to produce gasoline, which is a lighter distillate. So I don't think we're going to run out of gasoline, but diesel is a different situation. Diesel is a choice. So if you have heavier crude oil and you're running it through a refinery, you make a choice about the distillation. There's a fork in the road, let's say. There's a choice. You either produce diesel or you produce jet fuel. Now, I know this is a somewhat oversimplification, but it's basically that. There's a lot of configuration changes between those two, but what the Shell Oil CEO is even explaining here is that because it's more profitable to produce jet fuel, the refineries are producing jet fuel. That's what he's saying. It's like, well, why wouldn't they? It makes more money for them to produce jet fuel. Now, why is jet fuel priced much higher than diesel? I mean, even proportionally. Because the average American doesn't see jet fuel prices at the gas station. So they don't know what jet fuel costs. And the airlines just pass on the jet fuel cost to consumers with fuel surcharges on their tickets. So in a sense, jet fuel pricing is kind of hidden from the American people. Diesel prices are not. Diesel prices are very public. You're driving down the highway, you see diesel prices, you know, with the green signs on the gas stations on the side of the highway. You see the diesel price there. And in some places, that's $5 a gallon. But it's being kept artificially low on purpose to try to convince Americans that there's no shortage, that everything's fine, that they don't have to pay more for fuel. You know, it's from the White House, ultimately, a lot of market manipulation to try to convince people that the Strait of Hormuz is open, which it isn't. You know, it's smoke and mirrors. But here's the problem with that. Because the price of diesel is being kept artificially low, then there's not a price signal being picked up by the refineries that would allow them to make more money by producing more diesel. Thus, jet fuel becomes more profitable. So they make jet fuel. So the diesel scarcity gets worse and worse and worse as long as the diesel price is artificially low. You see what I mean? So price signals are necessary to sort of motivate producers to produce that stuff. It's like with electricity and the power grid. You know, if the wholesale cost of electricity, let's say, is only 10 cents per kilowatt hour, then there are only a certain number of power plants that are profitable at 10 cents a kilowatt hour. You know, they may have to generate it at, 8 cents and then sell it to the power company at 10 cents, let's say. I'm just using example numbers here. But if electricity prices at the wholesale level go up to 20 cents a kilowatt hour, then there's a lot of money hanging out there and a lot of other power producers are going to come online because a lot of these producers are going to say, hey, fire up the propane generator over here, you know, in Sector D, or fire up the diesel generator. You know, if it gets high enough, they'll fire up diesel generators. If it's like 50 cents a kilowatt hour, then they're like, hey, fire up everything you got, you know, and that's by design. So then that floods the system with more supply of electricity. So higher prices bring more supply online. This is classic economics, right? But when government is mucking around with the pricing and keeping the pricing artificially low, then there are no such price signals. And then producers don't produce more stuff. And then you end up with a worse shortage that the White House will no doubt try to cover up by lying to us even more. Like, there's no shortage. Meanwhile, there's rationing or something, you know, that maybe that's coming later this year. And eventually, when reality hits the fan on diesel, you're probably going to see diesel at $8 a gallon, $9, maybe $10, and maybe some places just no diesel. Can you imagine being a long-haul trucker? You're cruising down the highway. You know, you're burning a lot of diesel. I don't know how much those trucks burn, but it's, you know, they only get a couple of miles per gallon, maybe. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it's not that much. You know, I don't, like 3 miles per gallon? I don't know. But they have big diesel tanks, but it's not unlimited. Eventually, you got to pull over and fuel back up again, right? What if you, you know, you're driving down the highway, you look on the side, you're like, all the signs say sold out, or, you know, no diesel, no diesel, no diesel. You're driving and it's just no diesel, no diesel. And at some point you got to just pull over because, you know, you don't want to run out of fuel on the highway. So, you know, you pull over when you're down to 10% fuel or something. Plus, remember when you park a diesel truck, if you're going to sleep in it, if it's got a sleeper bunk in it, you know, you got to idle the engine. You got to have air conditioning, electricity, you know, you're going to burn some diesel to live in it until you can refuel. So you can't just run out of diesel. You're going to pull over. So this is probably coming in certain areas. I'm not claiming that this will be nationwide, but I think in many areas, this is assuming that we don't get the Strait of Hormuz back open again anytime soon. But in many areas, probably beginning in about 2 months, see, we're at the beginning of August right now. So maybe through August and September, yeah, beginning October, let's say, or maybe sooner, this is going to start to really hurt. Diesel prices will be very high and supplies will be limited. And probably some gas stations will just have no diesel available. That's where this is headed. And I think the Shell CEO just kind of admitted that. But what is Trump doing about this? Nothing useful. The war continues. You know, the economic destruction continues. So there's another problem with all of this too, and this was admitted by the Shell CEO. Shell's refineries for the second quarter of this year, they ran at an average utilization rate of 102%. You're like, what? What do you mean, 102%? Doesn't it top out at 100? Well, no, 100% would be running all out maximum across the board while keeping up with maintenance. So what they're doing right now is they're going above 100% because they are skipping maintenance. Okay, now, at least, look, that's my take on it. It's very clear. Because we're seeing reports like in Yahoo News talking about guidance for the third quarter of Shell Oil and refineries and other companies that utilization rates are going to plummet to as low as 93%. For what reason? Quote, planned maintenance. Okay, so in other words, you can run these refineries all out for a quarter or two. You can kind of push the margin and hope they don't blow up, you know? Eventually, you're going to have to do some maintenance. It's kind of like with any machine, you know? Eventually, if you have a car, truck, tractor, whatever, eventually you're going to have to change the oil. You know, eventually, it's going to need some maintenance. Except that refineries are 1,000 times more complex than a combustion engine. They need all kinds of planned maintenance. And if you don't get the planned maintenance, they become very dangerous. You know, one failed pressure valve or something and starts venting explosive gas, let's say. And by the way, in the past, refineries have blown up because they skipped on maintenance. So it's like playing Russian roulette. And well, maybe that's not a, I mean, it's not a great metaphor given how many Russian refineries are on fire right now. But it's like walking across a minefield. It's like, hey, how much lack of maintenance can we get away with? And apparently these companies are being very aggressively pushed by the White House, at least that's my guess, to say, you know, run all out, just produce everything. We have to flood the market with gasoline and diesel and keep prices low. And also Trump is releasing all of this oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve for the same reason, you know, just market manipulations, keep prices low. Well, again, this all works great until something blows up. And the harder you run these refineries, the higher the chance that something blows up. And I don't mean that as a metaphor. I mean that literally. And let me just give you some examples. I had to look this up. 2005, British Petroleum, Texas City, Texas. A raffinate splitter overfilled due to inadequate monitoring and process safety controls, causing a hydrocarbon explosion that killed 15 workers. Okay, 2010, Tesoro Anacortes, Washington. A 40-year-old heat exchanger catastrophically failed during maintenance because it had insufficient instrumentation. The rupture released hot hydrogen and naphtha, killing 7 workers. Okay. Bad. 2024, Marathon Petroleum, Galveston Bay, Texas. Oh, I remember this one. A deadly explosion caused by a leaky pump that the company had delayed repairing in order to maintain high production rates and profits. Sound familiar? 2018, Husky Energy, Superior, Wisconsin. A U.S. Chemical Safety Board investigation found the explosion was caused by a lack of safeguards during a maintenance shutdown, leading to injuries of 36 workers. 1999, Tosco Avon, California. 4 workers died when they cut into a corroded pipe to drain naphtha. The leaking fluid ignited upon contact with hot equipment, underscoring the risks of inadequate maintenance. And then 2025, Chevron, El Segundo, California. A major fire in the jet fuel unit disrupted regional supply. No injuries in this case, but these incidents often stem from mechanical integrity risks and system failures that are common in high run rate facilities. So, in other words, if you defer maintenance, people die. You know, things blow up. And this is well known. So, we are now in the deferred maintenance, you know, minefield chapter of whatever this crazy game is. And we're probably, well, let me just put it this way. Don't be surprised if refineries start to blow up across America. And I don't mean from terrorism. I mean from just lack of maintenance. Doesn't even take a drone strike. You know, doesn't take terrorists with mortars or whatever. It's just lack of maintenance. Because these things, you know, everything that they're pumping around is, it just wants to explode. It wants to catch on fire. That's what they're making, is fuels that catch on fire. So there you go. And then if something like that happens, it could take, you know, a couple hundred thousand barrels per day offline in the U.S. And then shortages would be catastrophic in 2027 and maybe beyond, depending on how many years it takes to repair whatever refinery just went kaboom, you see. And also, of course, like I said, people's lives would be put in danger by this very practice, and some people may lose their lives. So, look, I run a mass spec lab, as you probably know, and we have instruments like the ICP-MS, and these ICP-MS instruments, they have a really delicate turbofan. It's like a little jet engine inside, except the point of this turbofan is to pull a vacuum. It's designed to pull every atom of air, O2, nitrogen, helium, like everything out of the vacuum chamber so that we can run our ionized stream through an octopole, which basically separates out all the masses other than the one that we're looking at. Like, we want to look at, let's say, you know, mercury at a mass of 201 or something, or lead at 206. Then we need to pull a strong vacuum in this thing. And so there is a turbofan that's made out of aluminum, and it's very delicate, and it spins at 50,000 RPMs. And I've seen these. And although I've never seen one explode, one time one of the techs that was in doing preventative maintenance on this instrument told me that he saw one of these instruments where the turbofan exploded. It got off balance at 50,000 RPMs, and it just shredded the whole inside of the instrument. It's like, whoa. It's like, yeah, the instrument was gone. It just shredded itself from the inside. And it's like, there's aluminum everywhere. You know, it's like, you'll never get the free aluminum out of this machine. You just have to ditch it and start over. Okay. I imagine that would have made some noise too. The thing is, we have scheduled maintenance. And when you're running lab instruments, mass spec instruments, those instruments, the ICP-MS, that's for testing heavy metals. But we have other instruments, triple quad mass spec with an even stronger vacuum, by the way, for glyphosate testing. And we have single quad mass specs for other analyte testing. You don't mess around with maintenance schedules, because if you delay maintenance and you get a little wobble, a little shimmy at 50,000 RPMs, there goes the inside of your machine. And you're lucky if, you know, the aluminum doesn't spray out of the machine somewhere and maybe, you know, hit somebody or something, or start slicing lines, you know, helium lines. And there goes my year's supply of helium. Ah! Or you would be saying that higher. Because, ah! You know, you'd be breathing helium. You'd sound like Ben Shapiro, basically, if that happened. You would squeal like Ben Shapiro, I'm pretty sure. But you don't mess around with the maintenance schedules. You do the maintenance when it's supposed to be done. And that's just on lab equipment that's not handling explosive pressurized gases. If you're running a refinery and if you skimp on maintenance, you are playing with fire. You are tempting fate. You are about to, you're about to be vaporized. You know what I mean? And for companies to send their workers in, you know, for companies to intentionally delay maintenance and then tell their workers, like, yeah, it's all good. Just go on in there. Yeah. Go ahead. Turn that valve. You know, go ahead. Just walk down that, you know, walk right beside that pipe there. Everything's good. Trust us. You know, it's easy for management to say that because they're offsite somewhere else. You know, they're looking at a screen with remote sensors, like, everything looks good on the screen. The guy, you know, in the blue jeans and the steel-toed boots is the one who gets all blowed up when something goes wrong. You know, the guy with the hard hat and the work gloves, the guy that knows how to do stuff, he's the guy that gets killed, or a bunch of them get all blown up, giant fireball. That's happened over and over and over again. And that's not cool, man. See, I care about the workers. And now you have management telling workers, just like, push it a little more. You're like, just don't worry about the maintenance. You know, just asking for trouble. Okay. So this is going to end badly. In other words, even if the refineries don't blow up, we're still going to have diesel shortages because the price signals are all wrong. And if they do blow up, then you're going to know why. And I bet Trump will blame Iran. It was, you know, Iranian terrorists. Start channeling George Bush. It's terror. They'll blame Iran, you know, just like they blamed Iran for hacking, like, water treatment facilities recently. I saw that story last week. I'm like, oh, come on. probably just some nitwit systems administrator, you know, forgot his password, tried to hack into his own system to, because he didn't want to admit that he forgot his password. And he screwed something up and deleted a bunch of files, and like water systems stopped working. So they blamed Iran. You know, it's like, the dog ate my homework. Is point the finger at Iran. It's them Persians did it with their hacksterisms. They're cyber stalkers. You know, no, it's just, you're an idiot. You forgot your password. Or you went into the config file and you screwed up the config file. You know, you overwrote the config file with your email or something. Like, you accidentally pasted your email over the config. Like, you overwrote the JSON file with all your, you know, like your gambling numbers or something. You know, hey, of course it went haywire. So they blame Iran. They're going to do the same thing with these refineries. Refineries start blowing up. They're going to say Iran did it. And then Trump will say, we're going to bomb the snot out of them now. Look, they blew up our refineries. But no, it's just a lack of maintenance. See, not every explosion is enemy action, it turns out. Sometimes it's just your own dumbass corporate culture or military culture or government culture. It's just your own dumbass people who forgot to, you know, shut it down and you know, clean out the valve or something. Or stop. They forgot to check for corrosion. Oh, you mean parts wear out? Yep. You know, it's like this. Like, I have a big shredder that goes on the front of a skid steer that I use on the ranch. And the shredder has four heavy metal blades. I mean, when I say metal, this is like AR-15 steel that's used to make targets, you know? I think it's called AR-15 steel. These are heavy-duty blades. So if I'm out there shredding, these blades are spinning at a couple hundred RPMs. And then if all of a sudden I feel the machines like there's a shimmy, like there's a vibration that's off, what do I know? What do I instantly know happened? Yeah, one of the blades is missing some mass. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's not smooth anymore. There's a vibration in this thing. I better maybe stop rotating it, right? That makes sense. And that's why you have spare blades. So you can swap them out, put on some fresh blades. And when you put on fresh blades, and you probably know this, if you've changed like lawnmower blades, you don't just change one of the four blades, do you? No. Because then that blade would have too much mass. And then you start it up, start wobbling again. You got to change either two blades, but better all four. Because you want all four blades to match. You got to have the same mass. These things are spinning, right? So, you know, you got to use common sense on this. And that's just with a shredder that isn't about to explode. Imagine with a refinery. You start swapping parts, man, you better do it right. You better do it by the book. You got to have... You know, there's a checklist. You got to go down the checklist. People's initials, like, I checked this, I checked that. This is the thickness. This is the pressure. This is the visual inspection. This is the photograph, whatever. They have a procedure. And at an oil refinery, it's probably like 100,000 things to do to prevent that refinery from blowing up. I can assure you there's 100,000 things on that checklist. Because just look at it. Look at all the parts and everything. Like, somebody's got to go around and visually inspect every single thing. You don't do just like 99,000 and like skip 1,000. We're good. You know, we mostly got it. Yeah, mostly doesn't work when shit's about to explode. So anyway, I'm sorry. I've explained this. I've covered this too many times. But sometimes I do that because I'm trying to really emphasize the importance of it, or I'm trying to tell the same story from a different point of view. Or try to make it maybe something that similar to what you've experienced in your life, like, you know, changing blades on a lawnmower or something like that. But anyway, you get the idea. Diesel shortages are coming. And when those diesel shortages kick in, guess what's going to happen? Transportation is going to get very expensive. You know, food prices going to go up. Food delivery schedules going to get all chaotic. Auto parts, yeah, good luck. They're not going to show up on time. you know, parts at the Home Depot or the Lowe's or the hardware store, the Ace Hardware is like, hey, Ace, where's the hardware? You know, it didn't show. The truck didn't show. Why not? No diesel. Oh. You mean they can't make them trucks run on gas? Nope. They're all running on diesel. So supply chains are going to crater. And of course, trains run on diesel. They're almost all the trains in America are diesel electric trains. They burn diesel to produce electricity to turn the wheel motors. And there's a whole reason for that. I don't have time to go into it. But almost all the trains are diesel electric trains. The trains carry the coal to feed the coal power plants, along with many, many other things. Obviously, trains carry lots of things. If you start running out of diesel to run the trains, you're in real trouble. Then you start having power plants going offline. Then you have rolling blackouts and stuff. then you're wondering, like, hey, we're running out of diesel and, you know, it's a blackout. Like, the lights went off and we have no diesel. What's going on? You know, Trump will tell you, everything's great, we're winning. But you and your neighbor are like, we're sitting in the dark, man, and we can't even drive anywhere. You have any diesel? No. You have any diesel? No. We heard this guy, this health ranger guy, he's got diesel. He's got 500 gallons of diesel. Where is he? Oh, he's somewhere in Texas. Dadgummit, we can't get to him because we ain't got no diesel. You know, it's like, you're not going to be able to come get my diesel because you don't have diesel. I do have diesel because I stored it, as you know. And you know, when you don't have diesel, guess what happens to the construction industry? It goes to zero because all the construction equipment runs on diesel. Mm-hmm. Trucking, trains, tractors, agriculture, combines, food harvesting, food transportation, etc., etc., etc. So kiss it all goodbye if we don't have enough diesel to go around. It's going to get very interesting. And very few people are ready for that. And you know what? It's not going to do any good to loot the local grocery store if the shelves are empty. I could just see that. A bunch of looters in some blue city. They're like, we're running out of food. Let's have a flash mob looting at the grocery store. So they all go in there and like, man, there's nothing here. Yeah, because there's no diesel. There's no deliveries, dumbass. You're going to have to just like steal the shelves or something. I don't know what you want to take. There's nothing left. that would be a sign of pure idiocracy. Wouldn't it be looting empty stores with empty shelves? But, you know, and then they'd probably be so mad they just set it all on fire. It's like, let's just burn it down, man. It's empty. They ripped us off. They'd be like, well, what are you going to start the fire with? Gasoline. There's no gas either, dumbass. So you're not even going to be able to start the fire with accelerants. So like running around like, do we have anything left that's explosive? You know, I mean, that's the kind of desperation of the looting mobs, just trying to find something that they can set on fire and failing because the Persian Gulf is shut down. It's like, dang it. Will helium burn? No. Dang it. You have to use fusion, it turns out. Those light elements, they're always troublesome. So anyway, you get the idea. The bottom line for you and I, well, let me just reiterate. Number one, if you can still get diesel, maybe you can right now. Maybe you can for a couple months. And if you're able to, seriously, get yourself a 500-gallon UL-listed double-walled diesel tank, diesel storage tank, you know, that has all the safety built in. It's supposed to have vents on top. It's got to be double-walled, etc. Sometimes you can have like a spill basin around it. Depends on how much money you want to spend. Get yourself a 500-gallon diesel tank and then call your local diesel distributor and have them drive out and deliver 500 gallons of diesel. And then what you do is you pour in the micro, you know, the bacteria side stuff, stop it from gumming up with bacteria sludge that grows on the water condensation on the surface. And then you've got diesel for years, many years. I've run diesel that's even, believe it or not, I've run diesel 10 years old and it still ran. I'm not saying it's great on the engines and maybe I have to change the fuel filter or whatever. Probably the emissions are all nasty, but in the middle of a collapse, who cares? It burns, runs the engine. So you'll have diesel for years. Secondly, think about the things that are delivered by diesel trucks, and you may want to consider maybe, you know, stocking up on some of those things. And then thirdly, the reason you want to stock up on those things is because you'd never want to be part of some crazed mob that's out there looting or desperately trying to find something that they've run out of as the supply chain shut down. You want to be at home, you know, checking on your diesel tank. Yep, still there. We're still good. You want to be at home, not out in some crazy mob. You want to be at home, you know, with 1,000 rounds of 9mm, or better yet, 5.56, and, you know, your rifle all ranged correctly and sighted in and everything, you know, just in case. And just sit at home and be cool. Don't be part of the crazed mobs, you know? And if the power goes out, you know, you want a generator, and ideally you want a diesel generator because you already have 500 gallons of diesel. So then you can run the generator. And of course, you know that generators have a maintenance schedule too, just like lab equipment, just like refineries. Typical generator, you have to change, you know, the oil filter every, 250 hours maybe, depending on the model. You have to change, like normally there's a belt that runs the fan that blows air through the radiator to cool the engine. That belt is not going to last forever either. You probably have a fuel filter. You know, there might be some other filters, some other things that you want to check on. You might want to have some extras on. Oh, there's an air intake filter too. Almost forgot that. There's always an air intake filter on a diesel engine. So you better have those filter elements and extra engine oil ready to go, because we're going to have an oil shortage too. So, you know, once you have diesel and then you have the generator, and you got to have the generator engine oil and the oil filter and the air filter and all the other parts, then you can sit back and say, okay, I'm finally ready, you know? Or you might skip that. You might go like the solar route and have solar power stations and everything, which is fine. That way you don't have to change the oil. They are easier to use. Our sponsor, by the way, has some of those, the Satellite Phone Store. If you go to SAT123.com, they have solar generators, not diesel generators. They also have, of course, satellite phones, which could be very handy in these kinds of scenarios when the power grid fails and the cell towers run out of their generator fuel, because they have generators that only last, you know, what, 24 hours, 48 hours, maybe, and then they're out of fuel, and then what if there's no fuel? You see? So it's a good idea. Have a solar generator, some solar panels, and then be able to recharge your satellite phone, be able to make calls, even if the local cell towers are offline. And you can find all that at SAT123.com. And if you want extra food supplies, of course, you can visit my online store, healthrangerstore.com. We'll get you squared away with ultra clean lab-tested foods and superfoods and high-end nutritional supplements, and even specialized supplements like iodine or turmeric and things like that. We've got some great stuff coming. I can't wait to tell you about it. So in addition to that, if you want to follow my work, of course, my videos and interviews are at brightvideos.com, and my articles are at naturalnews.com. And I'm Mike Adams, of course. Thank you for joining me. Get prepared, folks. Get prepared. Things are going to get very crazy. Very crazy. Because I don't think the Strait of Hormuz is opening anytime soon. Do you? Do you? Number one, Trump doesn't even think it's closed. So he doesn't even... He's like, it's open! It's open! Thousands of ships are sailing through it right now. I'm like, no, man. Those are the sheep jumping over the fence in your mind as you're counting sheep to try to fall asleep. Because you're dreaming. It's a fairy tale in your head. Those are sheep, not ships. In reality, the Strait of Hormuz is closed, which means that we're going to suffer energy shockwave for quite a while yet to come. So get prepared. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Most commercial laundry and dishwasher detergents contain toxic chemicals. Try our chemical-free laundry and dishwasher detergent powders for a clean, safe, and healthy home. Shop at healthrangerstore.com.